Say, did you hear those way out bongo sounds? Hey, hip cat, mind if I sit one in? Her, Dino.
We're gonna have to scrap the lost baby gag and step to phase two.
Oh, thank you. You're like an idiot.
All right. So, hi. Welcome to Venture Bros. Me, your host, is Brian Dressel. I don't know why I'm talking like this, but I'm gonna do it the whole episode. Good luck, fuckers. No, I'm kidding.
I keep getting further away.
Thank you for listening. Here we are with co-host as well, not as always, because Nick still isn't here. Nick misses a big batch of season six, which is really a shame. He loves the hell out of this season, and
it's
just
a great season.
It really is. But we have Matt Space Ghost Dykes.
Ooh.
Certainly something Space Ghost does not do. I love Space Ghost.
So do I.
Space Ghost, coast to coast as well.
Oh, that was great. It was such a good show. We also have Graham Hoppity Hooper Mason.
Hoppity Hop.
I have never heard of Hoppity Hooper, being totally honest.
Surprisingly, neither have I.
Yeah, it wasn't just obvious.
It sounds like an insult
you'd call an Australian.
You Hoppity Hooper. Oh, how dare you? How dare you?
Ooh, that's low. Can you even say that on the radio?
It is, to be fair, it's another one of those cartoons. We've ran into this before this season that was like one of those in Rocky and Bullwinkle. Like when Rocky and Bullwinkle would take a break, they do like one of their little mini cartoons. Hoppity Hooper was one of those.
Duh.
Jeez, get with the times, people.
I mean, we all knew that. We just played like we didn't so that you'd relate to us more.
Yeah.
But,
yes,
whatever.
Of course.
It happening one night.
Dude!
Dude! Oi. Is the episode for today. I love the fuck out of this episode.
Yes, sir.
This one and not next week, the week after, those are my contention for favorite of the season. And this one all comes down to the Doom Factory. Mm-hmm. This gang of villains, I really wish had just been the villains for the season. I totally understand. Less is probably a hell of a lot more with these guys. I bet they would have been really grating on more than one episode.
Oh my god, yeah.
But for this one episode, the brilliance is just unmatched. I will do a very, very quick breakdown of the episode because I just want to get into it. Basically, it's another group of people who are supposed to be taking on Rescue Venture. This time, it's the Doom Factory who reaches out to Rescue Venture with a very Andy Warhol-esque, like, Empire State Building-esque video of just Venture Tower. And then just watching it, and just watching it, and just watching it. And then it's like, Dr. Venture, you will meet your doom! I love all of that. Meanwhile, Hank is out on his first date with Serena, and he's being very Hank about it. He's got a good hankering about how to make a terrible date happen, and that's to hire Billy and Pete to play random people all around the city to try to impress her. Clearly doesn't really go that well, except for the fact that it kind of does.
Yeah, it does go well. I wouldn't say perfectly.
It doesn't go perfectly, but it does kind of, like, the amount of effort of just trying to be sweet and impress her and not just try to get her drunk and have his way with her, it does quite a bit, which is kind of sad about Serena if you really kind of think about it. Mm-hmm. But it's a ton of fun to watch all of it play out, especially Hank's quote-unquote jacket. And then he takes him to a ninja restaurant, which is awesome, and I'm very annoyed that there isn't one of those in L.A. because I would go weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of it, the Doom Factory basically robs all of Rusty's stuff successfully. Very, very good at arching. Mm-hmm. And while they're going away, we find out that the Blue Morph and Kano or 21 have been doing their own little shenanigans. And they were trying to take down another one of the people trying to arch Rusty. And this time they're going to do it by blowing up their factory. They're not going to kill anybody. they're not crazy. They're just going to blow up their little hideout, so that way they don't have a base anymore. They're no longer level 10. They get knocked down a few levels, get them out of the way without any blood on their hands. And oops, they blew them all up.
Again, success through failure.
Yes. And that's pretty much the whole episode, right? Did I miss anything major in there?
I don't think so.
No.
Oh, there is a team up between Brock and one of White Whale's goons as they go hunting for Rocco. Serena and Hank. But yeah, there's not really... Rocco. Yeah, Rocco, thank you. That reminded me of one of my favorite lines. We could sit here and play Brocco Rocco Robots. Fucking great. But that's not really my favorite plot line, so I wasn't sure how much I was really going to dive into it, because it's really just kind of there.
Yep.
For how great Patrick Warburton and Brock... Warbrocken have been this season, it really kind of feels like they gave him a little bit of a break this episode.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I didn't need it. Like, I don't take that as a knock against the episode at all. It just means that I'm not going to focus too much on it.
Right.
Cool. Where to start? Let's start with the date. The date is probably the more wholesome thing, and then we'll move into the Doom Factory. Or we'll probably go date. Let's do this. Date, Doom Factory, Monarch. Because I think that makes sense plot-wise.
Sure.
To how it all shook out,
yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Right? Because Monarch sounds gets good. The final say.
Certainly puts an exclamation point on the end of this episode.
And it looked fucking cool. So yeah, let's start with the date.
I love Hank's attempt at being romantic. Don't you just love the feel, the wind in the air on a horse carriage ride, and the smell of horse poop in the wind in your hair?
As they're riding behind it. Like,
yeah.
It opens up that shot, and you're like, oh, this is such a sweet thing. Oh, they're just in a
hover, Hank car hover thing.
Behind the horse. Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
I think my favorite thing of the entire date, which there's just so much good stuff to chew on, we'll get through there, but it has to be his outfit.
Oh, absolutely.
It's 100% the outfit,
God, yeah.
Specifically because... it's the Bad outfit from Michael Jackson's album Bad. Because
He's a bad boy.
Yeah. And
the fact it's the good one, though.
Yeah, the fact that Serena calls him out on it and he just doubled down. Like, isn't that the bad outfit? No, it's the good one. Oh, Hank, you're the hankiest Hank of all Hanks. Mm-hmm. And I do kind of like, I don't remember... We didn't really get a lot of the Venture brothers being brothers, and we get even less of it moving more throughout the series because it just gets their rift gets bigger and bigger.
Yep.
So having these little glimpses of them working together is really nice.
Yeah, and Dean really tries.
He does.
He really, gets into his characters.
Yeah, he plays the drums. He has a little like a bullshit soul patch, and but he does, and he tries. And I love like the thing in the park with like him playing the drums. Like, do you mind if I stand in? And just points to the bass. It's like, Dean really
it just
gets
happens
into
to be there.
Yeah.
Yep. Come on. Four different albinos held us up this evening. What? The albino crime rate's really...
They travel in packs. That's scientifically plausible.
I just love the bit where Billy's like, where they're like, we'll have to skip the lost baby thing. And then Billy comes like, oh, thank God.
Oh, man. And they're so good too this season.
This
Pete
is
Pete and Billy, and Dean and this team up. But yeah, they're great.
I just to take a brief aside of how much we at Venture Bros, the Venture Brothers podcast, have shat all over Pete White.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going back to the beginning, like, I don't remember hating Pete this much. And now that I'm watching season six does a great job erasing that Pete hatred.
Yep.
And it's not like that he's that much better of a character or worse of a character, but he's way more tolerable in New York. And I don't know really what the change is, but I think this is why when we started this show however long ago, and I'm like, I don't remember hating Pete, but fuck Pete.
Yeah, but Pete's the worst.
Yeah, and like now I'm like, oh, this is why I didn't hate him, because he isn't that bad in later seasons.
Yeah.
He's kind of obnoxious, but it's not nowhere near as bad as he used to be.
Yeah, and I think it's because his playfulness is a lot higher, and not playfulness... He's always been playful, but playful, like, selfish.
Yeah.
This, he'll actually play with other people. So with Billy and Dean and Hank and all this. The other episode where he was doing the robot in the robot. And you're like, that's kind of funny. And he's like, hey, Billy, look. And, he's being more involved. As before, he would just literally go play video games by himself and buy a bunch of shit Robobo and some other shit.
Oh, God.
For himself. Which came in through this season and then was kind of shot out. So, but yeah, I think that's he's definitely more playful and definitely more involved.
It was pretty satisfying watching Brock knock him out, though.
Oh, my God. That was and he almost punches Dean, but, Dean? And I, he doesn't even pause to be like, oh, I punched out Pete? It's just like, whatever.
Not even a statement or anything.
Not even an acknowledgement that he just knocked out, like, a friend of many years.
Through a camera. Punched a camera into Pete Wentz's face. You can hear the flashbulb shattering. It's incredible.
Pete's just down like a sack of potatoes. Boom!
It's just, you know, they could have, like, animated in a bit of a leg twitch or something like that, and it would have made it that much more better. But just, it's just perfect as it is, to be honest. Like, just, like, camera goes into his face, and he's just down, like, completely out.
It is kind of nice to not hate Pete for a little while. Like, I didn't realize how much I'd grown to like him over 6 and 7.
Yeah.
And then to go back to the beginning, like, man, this guy sucks.
Yeah. And then in this sequence, we also bring back the Brown Widow.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Nathan Fillion is always a joy. Right. Especially bitter, jealous Nathan Fillion, who thought he was dating Serena and turns out he was just stalking her.
Serena!
I'll get those drinks for you.
And what can I get for the lady? Just trying his damnedest. And I love bitchy Nathan Fillion. Like, I just thought you were a struggling actor like me. Well, I am as well. And also, taking one improv class doesn't make you an actor.
Oh, man.
I want that rubber throwing star that Hank got as well with his drink. I want to go to somewhere where you get a drink and you get a rubber throwing star.
I want this ninja restaurant.
Absolutely.
Like, if Public and Hammer ever listen to our show and they happen to listen to this episode, you guys have to open that restaurant. Just open a whole Venture Brothers theme restaurant. I know that's way more capital than you ever want to spend on anything for this stuff, but I would go.
Yeah.
I would if you do it in Burbank, that's where I'm having every meal. I'm just letting you know, you have one guaranteed customer.
So maybe just like maybe two tables.
Yeah. And just in case somebody else shows up, maybe Graham wants lunch too.
Yeah.
We're not going to sit
the
together.
Same time. No. Maybe we'd ask.
When I come over in
together.
March, let's set up. Maybe. Let's do the ninja restaurant. We'll set it up while I'm over there in March. So there's 2 weeks that I'm staying over. We'll set up an entire restaurant.
Yeah, we'll do a pop up, a ninja pop up in Los Angeles. Yeah, we definitely have the money to do that.
Hey man, dumb Starbucks work.
I just bought a new microphone and I was legitimately worried about spending the money on it, but I can afford to do a pop up.
Crowdfund it.
Yeah, perfect. That actually, we might actually get something.
If everyone of our listeners donates a pound.
Or a dollar.
We'd have 2 pounds.
Well,
or
yeah.
$3.
You know what? I only accept wampum. Just start sending beads to my house.
I just want the whole barter system. So unless you already have a fully functioning ninja store... restaurant
that I will trade you something
then for. We unless you have that we don't want to talk to you.
Perfect.
But anyways
Venture Brothers, that was actually a somewhat entertaining tangent. I don't think I'm gonna cut that one out, and I usually do, but that one is fun. Let's get back into this. So let's go into the Doom Factory. Doom Factory is made up of about the Doom Factory.
I guess.
Can you name all the Doom Factory? I certainly fucking can't. I didn't write it down as it's happening. I even have the book.
Can.
Go for it.
Because I wrote it down.
Okay.
So you got the leader, Wes Warhammer, obviously.
Incredible.
Then there's Frigid, Serpentine, Eeny Meeny, Gerard the Gorilla, Black Mariah, Trashenstein, Ultraviolent. Billy Mame, which is my favorite of all the characters.
He's
just
got
the name
on his shirt.
Yeah, She-Hemoth and Hard Candy.
Wonderful. I do.
And I did all that from memory.
Well done.
Wow.
I believe you.
I believe you as well.
Just ignore the eyes shifting from side to side.
Yes.
Well, luckily they can't hear that, so we're good.
Actually, I can, which is weird.
You see your eyes looked at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clunk, clunk. My eyes do make a lot of noise when I shift them side to side. Like that. Especially when I roll them as well.
Ugh. Oh, I heard that.
The thing that I love about the Doom Factory mostly is that this one is like, as far as how I'm concerned, this is probably their most just like unashamed. We're just borrowing other characters and just making them Venture Brothers characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just like the She-He-Myth is kind of like, now I'm forgetting her name, in DC Comics. But like all these characters kind of exist elsewhere. And these are just like the Venture Brothers versions of them. Sort of like the quote-unquote Avengers in New York. This has the same sort of feel of like, oh yeah, that's kind of there. And then we kind of have this. Like, even Frigid is wearing the exact same glasses that Captain Cold wears from The Flash. Like, they're... The nods are very much there, and it's just, it doesn't feel like ripping off, it doesn't feel like they were lazy, it just feels like just pure love for this super geeky, nerdy stuff, and seeing them all together in Doom Patrol, I mean Factory, is just the best thing. And I love this episode so much because of this cast of characters. Mostly because of Wes. I think Wes makes the entire episode work so fucking well.
Oh my god.
But honestly,
I love how
he ties them all together just wonderfully.
Oh yeah, but I would easily watch an episode with pretty much any of them as the main people. Maybe not the camera face guy, but he didn't really have a lot to do. He just really distracted.
Oh, he's awesome. Black Mariah is awesome.
I mean, he's great. Black Manta is wonderful.
Could you take
Mariah's
your shirt off?
Can you tell him to take his shirt off? can you take your shirt off?
It's a onesie.
It's a onesie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Weirdest arching ever.
But it works. It works so much better.
And
than
do you know what? I love how he gets
him.
Into it as well. He gets so into it as well. It's like, how about this? You know, like, come here, kittenish. Hey.
Rusty got into something that spoke to his vanity. I'm so surprised. Huh. That doesn't seem like Rusty.
Again, another arch that like fits for him perfectly and is again not failure to success but no. Success
there is something kind of
to failure,
yeah. Well, that's what the monarch's there for. We'll get mm-hmm. to him. But there is something kind of interesting about this season of all these level 10 threats actually kind of pair with Rusty better than any of the other people he's ever been paired up with before,
right?
And granted, like, Hatred wasn't really trying to arch him. He was more so just trying to annoy the fuck out of the monarch.
Yeah, if anything, he was arching monarch.
Yeah. So, like, that one, I don't really know what to do with. But, like, the monarch is really just more, like, just angry at him and just annoying him. Whereas, like, this is, like, a legitimate arch. Like, this is, I would say, I'll even go on a limb. This is the most successful arch I think we ever see anyone pull off in the show.
Sure.
Like, if it wasn't for the monarch blowing them at the end. Yeah, they get They have a plan. They execute the plan. And everything works.
Mm-hmm. And they successfully bring Dr. Venture down.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in his beliefs.
He's legitimately upset. He's been mm-hmm. robbed, and they just float off. Mm-hmm. And like everything they meant to do worked perfectly. It's kind of nice in a way to see a plan work.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know. The plan worked, guys.
But
and then
his phone, so I can talk to God. But
I had nothing to say.
I have anything to say.
So here, you can talk to God.
This is my watch.
You just painted it gold.
Painted it gold. But even that sequence works perfectly with Eeny Meeny. As soon as Dr. Venture walks
eeny,
in.
Meeny.
She flies in, and then steals his watch. And you're like, you almost don't even notice it. And then when he goes to call Brock, you're like, oh, wow.
They are really good at their jobs.
Yeah. And really good at silk screening.
Yeah.
I would wear a shirt with Dr. Venture's face all over it.
Yeah. That's what I should make. But anyhow, like I think the only character here that I would not want to spend a shitload of time with would be Eeny Meeny. Because she's the only one who's just kind of like, she's kind of there. She's the one who doesn't really have a lot to do. But it's fine. She does her job perfectly.
Yeah.
So, it works.
I mean, that's kind of where I differ. Is I think they all work collectively so well that separately, it's like, yeah, I'm sure they were all good, you know, arches for whoever they were arching before. But now, as a collective, they're perfect.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I think, you know, as having Wes, Wes Warhammer as a leader brings them together perfectly, and they are totally successful. But, of course, are totally brought down by one of our lovely complete nincompoops, the Monarch, in a totally failure to success, success to failure way that only the Monarch can pull off. And didn't it look totally awesome?
It totally did. And I just, oh my god. Oh, no. Is there anything that we haven't mentioned with Doom Factory that we need to hit before we move back into the Monarch?
No, I can't think of anything.
So let's move into the Monarch. Now, this is the, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the episode where the Monarch opens with tranking his wife, right? Or is that next week?
I think it's this week.
I believe it's this week.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's this one.
Yeah.
It's definitely this one.
So this is the first point in this season where, like, granted, I get it. He's doing everything that Sheila would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
This is the moment for me where he crosses the line of, how do they rectify this? Like, I know they do, but I'm honestly trying to, like, rack my brain of, like, when and how. Like, I don't remember how he gets out of this. Because now he's drugging his wife to go kill people that she doesn't want him to kill. Like, this is, like, as high of a betrayal against her as I think he's ever done.
Yeah. But also, still kind of in a weird monarchish way, still doing what he thinks she wants him to do by becoming a number 10 monarch.
Yeah. So in his brain, you can see the leap. You can see how he goes, no, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Drug her now. I'll come back, drug myself, and we'll both wake up and go like, what happened? Like, I get where he's coming from.
And with the whole list, I mean, the whole thing of this whole season of like, oh, so what you're saying by there's a whole list of people between me and arching Dr. Venture is I need to have another persona to kill all of the people between me and the is Dr. Venture. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah. No. You idiot. But yeah, totally. So I can see, I can totally get his thought process. It doesn't feel like it's a mistake. It's not like I'm like, Public and Hammer, what were you thinking? Totally makes sense. I'm just more so like, how the fuck does he get out of this? Like, I'm honestly, I've watched this show more times than I can count. I legitimately don't remember how this gets solved. I'm kind of curious to get there.
Because
I'm like, man, he really fucks up.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if it's just this season and it being so, again, further on into the series where I haven't watched it maybe as many times as the other ones.
Sure.
But as I'm going through this season, I'm like really intrigued again and again every time.
Yeah.
And like new stuff comes up or the same thing comes up and I'm still within the episode. And I'm like, wait, what's happening? And it's still quite pleasant to continue to come back to and rewatch.
Oh, yeah. And it's one of those ones, like I remember watching season 6 the first time and going, just didn't feel the same. I still really liked it. And then it was like I do every time a new season comes out, I watch it week to week to week. And then when it's done, I start over and then I plow through it.
Right.
And when I was week to week on this one, I wasn't a huge fan of it. I was like, yeah, it's fun. I like it. Like each episode's kind of fun, but it wasn't really what I was looking for from Venture Brothers. When I then watched it just all the way through, I'm like, that might be my favorite episode. Might be my favorite season of the whole show.
It's really solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of
it's a serialized nature.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of it has to do with kind of what's in this episode of the Monarch really being tested. And like more so than like back in season 2 when he's in jail and like that. This is like the first time when he's like legitimately like he's at his own. He's his own worst enemy and he's the only person who can get himself out of it. Like if he wants to be a number 10. He could try to rebuild a cocoon. He could try to go hire more henchmen. He could do this. And that, an exec, sorry. he could actually go do those things. He is capable of doing that. He has raised a few armies. He has the power. That takes a lot of work. It's going to be a hell of a lot easier just to bump off these guys and just go straight back to what he wants to do. And I like that. Like, Monarch doesn't want to start over from scratch again. This is him going, I'm not doing that again. I'll find a different way.
And this is, again, one of those things where we keep coming back to, not throughout the whole series, but definitely over the past couple seasons where you're like, okay, who is actually the villain here? Dr. Venture or the Monarch? Because the Monarch is kind of a very successful bad guy playing a good guy bumping off bad guys.
Yeah.
Whereas Dr. Venture, with God Gas and everything else he's fucking invented and been successful at, is definitely more successful as a villain than an actual good guy.
I mean, or, Killinger was onto something.
Protagonist versus antagonist. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah.
And I think we're still figuring that out.
I'm not sure if we'll ever fully have an answer to that. And I'm kind of fine with that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of, that is definitely the fun of watching them, again, success through failure, of trying to do the thing that they think they're good at and failing at it, but being good at just being the opposite of the other person that you're trying to thwart.
I mean, this is the episode where he really goes full, he goes full Blue Morpho as well. This is like the peak Blue Morpho, I would say.
Again, just, I love Blue Morpho and Kano together. I mean, you know, Monarch and 21, that combination is incredible. But even in this alternate persona, they're just incredible. I mean, them taking their hover boats or whatever.
Get it in your mouth! Don't get it in your mouth!
And then immediately hits a dead dolphin and falls into the... All of it went in my mouth! I have dead dolphin juice in my mouth! Is incredible. And again, now us both being fathers, it is incredible having to watch all of these shows with captions and just seeing the caption of dead dolphin juice in my mouth. It's just incredible. I mean, it's just wonderful. And then immediately after that, them breaking into the Doom factory itself, using all the explosives, and that totally not working. And then the Doom factory being called to Ventec Industries with Monarch / Blue Morpho stuck to it. Just the back and forth between Blue Morpho and Kato. Dude!
And just the flying away. Dude!
So, look, this is the episode really where I think he fully, he sort of like reaches peak Blue Morpho as well, like the one where he's fully is that character. It's,
well,
it's, you know,
fully
with
realized,
him going after the Doom Factory, the whole plan. Yeah, it's just completely, you know, he's completely into Blue Morpho as the Blue Morpho sort of is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think this is also when he's kind of, he's made peace with the idea of killing people to get what he wants.
Because
I think before this, he was kind of like, not necessarily on 21's side, because Monarch's never given a shit about killing people.
Yeah, it was like, Harangutan was an accident.
Right.
Really. Think Tank he didn't have anything to do with. This is the first one where they've actively gone out to, well, not kill them, but actively gone out to destroy them completely.
No, he still... Yeah, destroy their factory, and then, again, success or failure, accidentally killed all of them in one fell swoop.
Exactly, and then after this, he's like, all right, well, we're just going to kill him from here on out.
Yeah,
the next
that's way easier to kill him.
Yeah, so the next episode, he's just sending 21 out, just go kill the guy.
Yeah.
Just go kill him.
Yeah.
And 21's like, I'm not a murderer. And then we find out
and I think it's
finale.
This episode where we sort of realize the best idea is to kill them, because, you know, dead people can't tattle.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting too in this episode where Rocco suggests to Brock to read the Blood on My Hands book.
That 21's been reading, yeah.
That 21 like that little yeah.
Oh, poor 21. Oh, he has a real rough ending to this season, and I'm very excited to get there. If you don't remember it, it's amazing.
Yep.
And if you don't remember it and you've seen it before, the very first scene of the final episode of the season, you'll go, oh, fuck, I remember. Because that's what happened to me. Chewie was like, the ending is so sad for him. I'm like, sad for 21? What are you talking about?
Yeah, what do you mean?
As soon as the episode started, when we finished next week's episode, I'm like, oh!
Oh, my God.
Oh, poor 21. Okay, so let's move into favorite performance of this week. And I've said before, I'm always hoping that we all have the same answer. And this is the first week where I think it might be possible, unless one of you want to throw a wrench, just throw a wrench. But I have to go Christopher McCulloch for Wes Warhammer. He did do Wes Warhammer. Yeah, he did do Wes Warhammer. Yeah.
Yeah.
he was the best.
I mean, like, arguably.
If it wasn't just for that line of the "Eeny Meeny gave it to me, said I could talk to God, but I have nothing to say." It's so fucking good. Like, just so good.
And even just the, like, you're thieves. You're all just thieves. This just, yeah. You're like, wow. Actually, I don't know what I expected you to say to that, but now that's exactly what I would expect you to say to anything.
But then you just...
So perfect.
You throw on top of the fact that Chris McCulloch also does Hank Venture and the Monarch, and right. You just think of all the voice he had to do for this episode, and they're all the highlight of the episode.
Yep.
Like, he steals... He is far and away from me the best performance of the episode.
Dude!
Matt, what about you? I think Nick...
Dude!
I think Graham disagreed with me, so we have one left. Matt, where were you?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to agree with you as well.
it happened!
All right!
West Warhammer and the Monarch, but it's basically same guy anyway. Cause I was sort of initially thinking the Monarch / Blue Morpho because of, you know, the fact that he's, you know, just fully accepted his position now as the Blue Morpho, and just the way he plays it is just great. The whole dude, and then the tell me that isn't awesome. Tell me that didn't look awesome. I think at the end, but then just the West Warhammer stuff is just so good. It's like literally just like so yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's always great in every episode, but this one, woof.
Yeah. Just the bit that we were on about with the, you're just a thief. Yeah.
It's such a nothing line, and it gets a legit laugh out loud from me every time I watch it.
Yep.
Like I...
Well yeah, done. Me too.
A round of applause for you. Yes. Well done. You Boy Scout.
What? Round of applause. Yeah, you literally said
it's a Boy Scout joke.
Whatever, I'm a dad now, I can do that.
An
Eagle Scout. So
any American listening to this knows exactly what you were doing. All right. So that will be it for It Happening One Night. We did it. We covered it. I'm proud of us.
We covered it.
We did.
Happening One Night.
So let's do a very quick round of plugs. I'm going to give the same plug I did last week. Go to hhpod.com. Check out everything we have. I guarantee if you are into pop culture in any way, shape, or form, we have something for you on the site. We have a few shows that we're kind of cooking up. We might be releasing. We might not. But we are always brewing on new stuff. There's always something new on the site every fucking day except for Saturday and Sundays because we are humans and we need time off. But that's also when we're usually recording a lot of our podcasts that might have something else to do with it.
Fact.
Yeah, so please, hthpod.com, check us all out. It's wonderful. And then be sure to check out that game that Nick's working on that he still will not let me tell you what it is. But it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. It's certainly a game.
It is. It's got
it's on Pac-Man, a platform. Isn't
it? It has platforms.
Pac-Man.
I just said I can't say the name of the game. It's Ms. Pac-Man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Nick.
It's waka, waka, waka. Parcheesy.
Parcheesy Pac-Man. Matt, what about you? What are you plugging?
So the third part of my Stargate franchise article will have gone live on Friday, which covers Stargate Atlantis. Nearly at the end. So coming this Friday will be the fourth and final part. But you know, it was also really sad to finish it off.
Well, that's why you're working on the Doctor Who article next.
Yeah, God. Not happening.
What, you just breeze through that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's only 55 years of TV.
Yeah, I was going to say, just, yeah, from the beginning.
Took me 3 months to do the Stargate one, so no.
So now you're practicing.
Yeah, you're totally ready to tackle. That's why you were doing Stargate first, is because you could then effectively tackle Doctor Who next.
Yeah, to get your rhythm down.
Yeah. Great, it's settled.
Perfect.
What I will say is this last weekend I will have been at a Star Trek convention, and I am planning on writing another article about my experience there, because I did one last year.
That was one of your first articles for us, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was the second or third one.
It was early on.
Yeah. Well, I remember I was actually finishing off editing the Die Hard one, which was my first one, on the train on the way down to that Star Trek convention. On my phone. I now have a tablet, so I can do some writing on the way down with an actual keyboard.
Fancy.
Look
at Matt in the future.
So by tablet, yeah, you mean like a tablet of stone,
yeah,
right?
He's chiseling on the train.
Right.
Yes.
Kink, 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 kink.
I mean,
that's it exactly.
That does sound different than pen and paper. I don't know if easier is the word.
You ever see that old Flintstones movie with John Goodman and he has to take a test on tablets and then he erases? That's always bothered me. How the fuck do you erase on a tablet? It doesn't make any sense. So Matt, next week will tell us how to erase on a stone tablet. Tune in.
I will.
Okay. I know I steamrolled your plugs. Is there anything else you wanted to say, or should we wrap this up?
No. The other thing I was going to mention is I've gone for one of the higher priced packages this year, so I'll be doing a bit of a comparison. As like, was there a benefit? I think that's part of what I'll be writing about a little bit more. Was there really a benefit? Yeah, that
be
kind
sure
of
to
thing.
Let us know before I ever waste money on a ticket like that. Because if it's worth the money, I would absolutely spend the money. But absolutely. I'm always afraid that it's just not.
Yeah,
yeah. I've gone from I initially went down Lieutenant's package. That was the first one. That was last year's, and I've gone to the Captain's package.
What's so like the regular ticket? Just a red shirt?
No, it's just general admission.
Here's the door.
They missed a trick
and
there,
you're
though.
Dead.
Didn't they?
You can leave now. I just got here. Indeed. Indeed.
Sucks, doesn't it? Feel the pain.
There is
so many extras over the years.
There is a thing, though, of a lot of people will go down in like wearing red shirts, and every cosplayer they see in an alien outfit, like a Klingon or something like that, they'll just lay down next to them and get photographs taken of them, like, so they've just been killed by the Klingon or something.
That's fantastic. Okay, so be sure to tune in for that article. I look forward to reading it, because I'm now very curious to know if I should spend extra money on tickets or not. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for paying for it, so that we all don't have to if we don't have to, which is great.
That is the only reason I did it, so you will be getting an expense thing filed.
Cool. Indeed.
Yeah, be sure to keep an eye out for my address. I'm just sending it to you. I'm working on it. I'm writing it down right now.
Yep, I'm seeing it. Oh, whoa, that piece of paper just lit on fire.
I'm going to send you a singing telegram with my address. It's going to be great.
It's all right, I'll send it to Sam and she can forward it on to you.
Sam doesn't know where I live now.
Nope. Right? We're currently moving as we're recording
the
podcast.
Yeah, just like carry the table. All right, we're leaving. Bye!
Bye!